16. So tune in.
It's really gonna go now.
Hi, I'm Bob Longman with your WUSB concert billboard for March 14th. The Guthrie Project, featuring Yim Yames, Jay Farrar, Will Johnson, and Anders Parker, will be at the Webster Hall in Manhattan. The Allman Brothers will be at the Beacon Theater in Manhattan, of course. Acoustic duets with Jim Fleming and Kevin Griffin will be at the Plaza Film and Media Arts Center at ArtSpace in Patchogue, 7:30 p.m. Corky Lang and the Memory Thieves will be at the Bitter End in Manhattan at 7:30, and that's an album release. Thursday, March 15th, the Emerson String Quartet will be at the Stoller Center for the Arts here on the Stony Brook University campus, 8 p.m. And Katie Perlman Band with Annie Mark will be at the Heartluck Cafe Cinema Arts Center in Huntington at 8:30. Your concert billboard for Friday, March 16th. The Electrics will be at the Brick House Brewery in Patchogue at 10 p.m. The Allman Brothers, of course, will still be at the Beacon Theater straight through to the 25th. And those shows are at 7:30 p.m. in Manhattan. Your concert billboard for Saturday, March 17th. The Royal Winnipeg Ballet will be doing the Moulin Rouge Ballet at the Stoller Center for the Arts here on the Stony Brook University campus, 8 p.m. Dwayne Kerr will be at the Clovis Point Wines at 3 p.m., and that's in Jamesport. Heather Hardy will be at the Bedell Cellars in Cutchalk, New York at 4:30. Hypno Smoothie, the Suck It Easy Band, the Fez, DJ Brandon Ellsbury, and DJ G-Rat will be at Madden's Irish Pub in Patchogue, 8 p.m. Miles to Dayton will be at Pace's Hawpaw at 8 p.m. Funk Applied will be at the Country Corner in East Setauket, 8 p.m. Your concert billboard for Sunday, March 18th. Ahmad Ali will be at the Sherwood House Vineyards in Jamesport at 2 p.m. Bakiti Kumala will be at the Sparkling Point in Southold, 3:30 p.m. Melvin Seals and JGB will be at the Fairfield Theater Stage 1 in Fairfield, Connecticut at 7:30 p.m.
And that's your concert billboard for this week. And keep listening to WUSB to find out where your favorite bands are playing in the area and who's coming to your favorite night spot. Or look online at WUSB.fm for the online version of Concert Billboard at WUSB Stony Brook.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 6:03. Time once again for Off the Wall. We'll be right back. And very good and fair by the program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Weltskin here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined once again by Kyle.
Hello, I'm here.
You are here, yeah. But you are heading back to Seattle over the weekend, and
true,
won't be here next week. But
I won't be.
You'll be back soon enough, though, because we're working on so many projects, and it's been. You've only been here for about 3 weeks, and just every day has been filled with one activity or another, as far as just either organizing for the conference or just doing various technological projects or reorganization things like that.
It's been a lot of fun, though. I think I've got to do some fun things as well, and sort of enjoy the beginning of spring here on the island and in New York State.
Yeah, well, that began in January, so
I
don't know what's going to happen next, but obviously winter isn't going to make an appearance this year.
No.
It's too bad.
We're pretty much done with it,
I think. It is still technically winter.
Well, I heard that there was some snow today in Seattle. I can't confirm it. I haven't looked into it, but
please don't confirm it, because
that
would make me ever so cross, and I don't really want to think about how Seattle's having a better winter than New York. It's not right. It's just not right. But one thing that did happen this weekend is the changing of the clocks.
Yeah.
And that caught me by surprise, because it just seemed like we had just moved them back to standard time, and now they're on daylight time again.
I was just beginning to enjoy that hour.
Well, yeah, you always miss an hour somehow. But now it's supposedly staying light later and getting light later. I guess that's how it works. Everything happens later.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, here's the weird thing, okay? Since the last time this happened, since the fall, when we went back to standard time, and I was complaining how I didn't even know about that for a few days, because everything automatically adjusted itself, and I just was aware that it was light a little bit less that day. It was getting dark earlier, and I couldn't figure out why, and I realized 3 days earlier the clocks had been set back.
Right.
But this time, we got an atomic clock. Well, not an atomic clock. We don't have an atomic clock. We have a clock that reads the atomic clock or something.
Right. It picks up the signal that's broadcast of the atomic clock.
It's a cool clock. It does all kinds of neat things. I have it in 24-hour format, which I think is the superior format.
And centigrade.
In other words, right now it's 18:11. It's not 6:11 p.m. No, it's 18:11. That's how you tell the time. And we have Celsius temperatures on the inside and outside.
So wait. Isn't it centigrade?
Centigrade, Celsius, same thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Both begin with C. I'm not sure which is which, but we can argue over that.
Uh-huh.
We have that. But the weird thing is that that clock didn't set itself properly. That clock did not set itself ahead. It still hasn't to this moment. And I went to the website of the company that sells the clock, and they basically have a big banner there saying, "Don't call us if your clock doesn't reset itself for daylight savings time."
Yeah.
Because it has to receive a signal from Fort Collins, Colorado.
Right, and you have to run up onto your roof and hold the clock above your head and wave it towards Colorado.
They say, have your clock facing Colorado. This is incredible that you have to do this. They don't say when the signal actually gets sent. I think it's at midnight, but I don't know if it's midnight the way the clock thinks it's midnight or midnight the way everybody else thinks it's midnight. I don't know when that signal comes across, but it has not come across the last 3 days. And the clock that I thought would be the most accurate is actually the one that doesn't have the right time. So it's really, they need to upgrade that signal.
Yeah,
a little weak signal of WWV in Fort Collins, Colorado, it's not enough.
Yeah, if they could maybe boost some things, do a little antenna maintenance, perhaps we'll get a better signal.
Yeah, so everything else seems to have set itself properly. And here we are with an extra hour of daylight in the evening, one less hour of daylight in the morning. You have to balance it out, because we're not gaining an hour. We're just moving it.
Yeah, you're just shifting it a little bit.
Yeah, so. It's silly. The whole thing is silly. I think we should just keep the time the same all the time and just be aware that it's getting darker in the winter and things like that.
Hey, speaking of broadcast signals,
mm-hmm.
And maintaining them and stuff, I heard, it's not a rumor, I'm pretty sure it's true, that the beginning of the spring fun drive for WUSB is starting tonight.
Actually, it started on Wednesday.
But oh, so it's begun.
For us, it's starting tonight.
Okay.
And yes, we in fact have a person right now sitting in front of a phone that's not ringing and is glaring at us. Chris is in there, and he's made a special trip all the way over here. He lives a very long distance away, and he comes by horse, I think. And mm-hmm. it's quite a sight to see when he arrives.
Gallops up.
Yeah, it's also I don't think it's legal to do that in Suffolk County, but regardless, He's here. You can see the horse tied up outside if you really want to do that.
He's old school.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. But anyway, the point is, we are soliciting your support, which I presume we already have. You know, if people really care about the place, I would imagine they're jumping over their desk to get to the telephone to give a call. 631-632-6901. Yes, that's the phone number for the pledge drive.
631-632-6901. 6901.
Yeah, 690.1.
690.1. Yeah. 631-632-6901.
Yeah.
WUSB Stony Brook. And that's where you're supporting.
We have a bunch of WUSB paraphernalia to give to anybody who calls in. Yeah, we have what's this? We have tote bags for $25. We have glass mugs for $35. For $50, you can get a T-shirt, a WUSB T-shirt in your choice of size. For a pledge of $75, you can get a WUSB sweatshirt. Again, all sizes range from small to double XL. We also have ceramic coffee mugs, baseball caps, and all kinds of CDs, too, which I'm sure Chris will be happy to lead you down the path of all those things. But the most important thing is that you get a radio station that continues to broadcast 24 hours a day with alternative information of all sorts, different perspectives. Think of the things that we've talked about on Off the Wall over the years. And, Carl, you were a listener to this program for many years, and yeah.
Yeah, I have. I have been a long-time listener, and it was a real treat to be able to come and speak. So I was going to add that perhaps things that you've talked about, because on shows like this, we do take calls,
mm-hmm.
And we're thrilled to have people get the chance to speak up either over the phone, commenting on whatever we're discussing, or as you alluded to, people getting involved in the station in person, coming down and learning a little bit about how a radio studio works these days, mm-hmm. and how to produce various, you know, attributes of whatever kind of show or programming. There's all kinds of jobs, all kinds of things that need to go on, and you know, everybody sort of chips in and makes it work out here.
Absolutely.
And so, but you know, in this case, we're especially interested in people that would like to make a financial contribution to the station, because that helps us cover some of the expenses, not to mention the manpower that is important to keeping it going. But we do have some expenses here, and we'd really love to take your calls and build up our quota here for the springtime.
Right, absolutely. And again, the phone number is 631-632-6901. You can also call 631-632-WUSB. Either one gets to the same place. And just pledge whatever you can afford. Join the 90.1 Club, and you get all kinds of neat WUSB items there. Without that support, you know, we would not be able to continue doing what we do. Things would break, not get fixed, and things will just deteriorate, as you've seen in very many places. Just look around you. Look at all the stations that have disappeared over the years. Things that just, you know, the interest level goes down because they're not doing anything cutting edge, or because they're being overshadowed by more powerful entities with a lot more money.
Yeah, I was just going to add that this is the nature of community radio, is that it is run and funded by people that care about it, whether it's money or physical, you know, time and sweat equity. So definitely, you know, keep WUSB free and community-based, because there are, you know, commercial interests that, you know, like to scoop up the FM stations, and, you know, it's a rarity, you know, mm-hmm. across the dial to have this traditional radio broadcasting, you know, free and, you know, interesting perspectives, stuff that you can't really get on like a cable package or your new HD box or your satellite, you know, whatever, you know, other commercial stuff you use to consume media. This is a different kind, and it's pretty special.
And to show you how special you are, you, our listener, I hope I didn't say singular tense on purpose. Now, I know we have listeners. We have lots of different people. But to show how each one of you matters so much, we're going to basically make a big deal when the first person calls. One person can do this. Yeah, and we'll move on to other topics that we want to talk about tonight, because there are a lot of things to talk about. So you out there listening right now, whether you're in Colorado or Corum, no matter where, Long Island or somewhere in the other part of the world, when you call 631-632-6901 and pledge anything you can afford to keep the radio station going, That's when we're going to move on to other subjects. And that's the kind of power you have to make us shut up and do various other things. But also, we want to acknowledge the fact that every single listener counts. Every single contribution adds up.
Yeah.
That's what it's all
that's
about.
That's what it takes. It's teamwork. We're building this station, you know, one pledge at a time. So please, please dial that number, 631-632-6901. You could be our first caller tonight. Lots of interesting packages. And, you know, as soon as we get a couple calls in, we'll start moving on to some of the interesting stories we got. We got some different stuff tonight. There's a lot of interesting stuff in the media. So please call in 631-632-6901. Make a pledge to WUSB Stony Brook and, you know, keep community radio alive out here on Long Island and transmitting over the web all over the world.
You know, we have to know that it means something to you because otherwise, what's the point? What's the point of spending a lot of time researching things and working and getting things fixed when we could just put on a CD and leave it and sound like everybody else? We could do that very easily.
Yeah, it's easy.
Doesn't cost a lot of money to do that. And when you listen to commercial radio stations, what do you think they're paying for? Basically, they make a ton of money with their advertising, which, you know, I don't think the advertising even works, to be honest. I don't know anybody listens to radio advertising and says, wow, I'm going to do that.
I'm going to go buy a new whatever.
Yeah, we don't even know what they sell.
Just because.
It sounds like garbage, but people do get suckered into listening to the same crappy music all the time.
They pay celebrity DJs to sort of kind of spout.
You know what? They don't even do that anymore.
Oh, they don't?
They have them piped in by satellite, so they're there in the studio. There could be a tornado bearing down on the entire village, and nobody is around to tell anyone about it because it's all coming from a satellite. The first clue you get that anything's wrong is when the signal from the satellite cuts out. And this has happened. This has happened around the country in various places where all the radio stations that are supposedly local really aren't. They're just satellite feeds.
That's a good point. That happened here. I mean, I remember when there was a storm out here and we said, hey, you know, WUSB is a resource. People are dialing in. They want to hear. They want to hear local news. And there were people that were able to come down and, talk.
The hurricane last September, was it? And it was amazing listening to USB because we really came through there as far as being there for the community and having a two-way conversation going.
It was Irene.
Hurricane Irene, yeah. I've seen that before in other places, other communities. I was in North Dakota once, flash flooding. I was in North Carolina, another hurricane. And people just they gravitate towards radio because that's what's important.
And it's beautiful to see when that works out. I mean, but that's a capital C community.
If the facilities aren't there to allow people to do this in the first place, if it's all just automated and there are no people to do the actual work, what happens when you need those people? They just it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You might continue hearing your music, but and commercials, of course, but not much else here at USB. You know, we're not perfect, certainly. We do all kinds of things in a different way, and sometimes we make mistakes. We try to fix the mistakes we make. That's because we're human. That's because we're part of the community ourselves. Mm-hmm. At least we know something about what's going on around us, and we can talk, hopefully, intelligently about it.
Yeah, and we're not selling your listening to third-party entities. You know, every dime that you contribute by calling 631-632-6901 will go directly towards something that funds the station, whether it's an expense, a transmitter fee, various maintenance stuff. It's not even going to, satellite-fed DJ, or no, satellite... Yeah, whatever it is, he comes in on the satellite. I don't know what they're paying for.
Robotron that comes in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, look, we have a call. That's great. Chris is actually on the phone. I'm sorry. We didn't acknowledge that call. It came in a little while ago.
Great. Let's add to it.
We have four more lines, so if anybody else wants to call, we'll make a big fuss about you as well. But we want to thank that person for calling in. It means an awful lot to us. The phone number is 631-632-6901, and we have all kinds of premiums and items of various sorts to entice you, but mostly the biggest enticement should just be that there is non-commercial radio on the dial still. No commercials. Yes, we have to beg for money occasionally, but that's because you're our sponsors, you're our investors, you get a say in what happens here, and no other radio station is going to offer you that. They'll either be underwritten by huge, powerful entities and pretend those aren't commercials, or they'll have nothing but commercials, and they won't really care what you have to say.
Yeah, and I mean, it's happened. I mean, this just because it's on campus. I mean, this station itself is available to students. So not only is it a community station, they're out there, you know, accessible to the community, but students mm-hmm. can come in here. And, you know, I've seen this happen. WLUW in Chicago was on campus. They mm-hmm. were downtown. They had a space downtown in Chicago. Then they moved on campus, and then they started. The operation was taken over by WBEZ. Because mm-hmm. the school did not have any interest in operating the station anymore. So it happens to college stations. So please support this. I mean, yeah. make this a resource, a teaching environment as well for young people that want to get into media.
We're very fortunate that the university supports the radio station, but that could change. Thank you, Chris. Chris has a name for us. Who do we have here? We want to thank Sean from Hopog. Is that right? Sean from
That's
Hopog.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much for that very generous pledge. And please join Sean and give a call to 631-632-6901. Keep Chris busy in the other room because that's amazing. That's $50 we didn't have before, and that could easily fix an annoying problem on the air, fix something that's broken, or just keep something working better, and more people will be turned on to the radio as a result.
What's the phone number again?
631-632-6901.
That's 631-632-6901.
Mm-hmm.
WUSB, 632-WUSB.
No. Oh, yeah, that too. That's another number. That would be 631-632-9872.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. It is two different numbers. Okay.
So, we
either.
Have, it basically just, it's a thing in a computer that just routes the number to a certain line.
Well, it's good to know it's working and it's available to you. Please call in and let's keep raising a little bit of money here for the station while we move on into some of the content we had for tonight.
Yes, and we did promise we were going to do that, so I think we should keep our promise. But I hope more people will join Sean and give a call to 631-632-6901. Show your support for the radio station and you'll get really cool WUSB related items. We have them. We use them all the time. USB cups and mugs and things like that. And I don't personally use a tote bag myself, but if I did, I'd like for it to say something I'm proud of.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. I don't use all of them, but you know, this is practical stuff. It's just a reminder, you know. It reminds you, it's like, hey, the station's there, you know. I contributed. I got this as a thank you, and you know, it reminds you the station's available to you, and that could help you if you're in a work day or something like that. And
to give you an example of the community mindedness that we have here at the radio station, we have later on coming up in just 33 minutes or so a basketball game involving Stony Brook. You might have heard about this. Stony Brook came very close. I think it was on Friday to getting an NCAA bid. I'm not sure what these things mean, to be honest. But they didn't win the game, unfortunately. It was huge. It was here at Stony Brook, and the place was mobbed, sold out. I think we had more listeners to a program based on the online statistics than anywhere in our history.
Wow.
From the game there. But because that game resulted in defeat, we wound up with an NIT bid, which I'm not sure what that means either.
I have no idea.
It's not as high as an NCAA bid, apparently, but it's still pretty cool. And if we win this game, we go on to something else.
Right.
It's very complicated. But the point is, there was supposed to be a lacrosse game on tonight at 6:45, and the lacrosse game has been preempted by a basketball game. So so many things going on. But the basketball game actually is not going to start till 7, so we got our 15 minutes back. But it's an important game. In fact, it's going to be on ESPN as well. One of those ESPN channels. There's a whole bunch of them. But
well, way to go, Stony Brook.
Yeah, and it's also going to be on that other station in Seton Hall, WSOU. But you can only get them in New Jersey or New York area. But I think USB really shows the enthusiasm. And if you want to listen to a good broadcast, that's the one to tune into. But the point is, we have such a variety of material that you know, it ranges from music to sports to talk to all sorts of things. We're all united in wanting the station to be strong, stay on the air, continue bringing as many diverse programs as possible. So if you support that concept, that's why calling 631-632-6901 is the right thing to do. All right. well, speaking of the right thing to do, this is definitely not the right thing to do. You might have heard this story. Hopefully you've heard this story about the soldier who went berserk in Afghanistan and basically wound up mowing down all these innocent people, most of them women and children, in actually, I think a couple of villages. He left the remote combat outpost of Camp Belembe and basically just wound up waking people up in the middle of the night, executing them. Get this. He pulled a boy from his sleep, shot him in the doorway, according to one witness, came back inside the room, put a gun in the mouth of one child, stomped on another, basically burned their bodies. One of the most horrific things you can imagine. It makes burning the Quran something that pales in comparison, in my eyes, anyway, because this is truly horrendous. And obviously the reaction to this has been pretty condemning, except in the United States, except here. I don't think it has been enough of a condemnation. I mean, yeah, you had Obama going on TV today saying that this really isn't what we stand for at all. The United States takes this as seriously as if this was our own citizens and our own children who were murdered. Okay, you know, I would hope so. He said he was heartbroken by the loss of innocent life, calling it outrageous and unacceptable. It's not who we are as a country. It does not represent our military. The president said the Pentagon would follow the facts wherever they lead us, but he offered no new details about the identity of the soldier or the circumstances of the attack. Now, this is where I really have a big problem. You have this guy who, by all reports, has admitted what he did, went out there and basically participated in a massacre. A lot of innocent people lost their lives wearing a uniform of the United States.
Where I disagree is before that. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I disagree before that.
Launch in with the disagreements. Go ahead.
It does represent our military
okay.
and our country.
Okay. Well,
it does. It's not just that he was wearing the uniform, you know?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, in the eyes of many people, but yeah, that's a whole other siding that we can
or
get
how
off
does
on.
It not, right?
Uh-huh. Anyway, my point is that you have all these facts. You have you have him saying that he did this. You have pretty much solid proof. Everyone's agreeing on what happened. But we don't have his name. He's being protected. His name is not being released. Now, why in God's name? It might seem like a trivial thing, but I don't think it is. Because if any of us committed any kind of infraction at all, anywhere, our names would be plastered about if it was a crime that was of interest to the public. This is certainly of interest to the public. So why? You know, if someone just explains to me, I've been asking many, many people, why on earth are they protecting this guy by not releasing his name? And, you know, some of the reasons are, well, it's to protect his family because they might be victims of retribution. Well, couldn't that be the case of someone who shoots a cop too? You know, try shooting a cop and I don't think your name will be protected. And I'll bet you have a lot of armed men angry at you and your family. And yes, retribution does take place among our finest officers, for sure. It's been proven over and over again. So, you know, it's kind of... and also, I don't think that their family really is... His family is really going to be that reachable wherever they happen to be. They're in the United States, it's possible. That's, you know, that's not a consideration for any other crime. Why is this different? It sends the wrong message. It sends a message that... yeah, you know what? We'll deal with this. Trust us. We're not even going to tell you who did it, but we're going to hand out justice in our own way. And that's another thing. That's another thing I have a real problem with. Categorically, everyone has said there is no way that we will ever turn this soldier over to the Afghan authorities. The Afghan authorities who we helped to install in the first place, the people that supposedly we approve of and that we basically gave the start to so that they could run a country. But they're too savage to actually mete out justice to our citizens. We'll take care of that. Thank you very much. But if any of you people throw a rock at us or download software that doesn't belong to you or anything like that, we're going to bring you over here to our country and try you in our system. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Do you think maybe it's not really an even playing field here? And maybe other people in the world have caught on to that by now.
Yeah.
Well, I think so, anyway.
No. You have a great point. I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, it's very, very true. I mean, rendition is historically quite American and quite popular. That's taking people out of another country because, you know, they need to be held accountable in yours. Mm-hmm. And also... these kinds of reactions and soldiers, you know, kind of going berserk in this way in other countries and then being sort of defended or whatnot. I mean, it's happened before in different forms, but this is sort of a culmination of, I think, a lot of history.
And not that the comments that appear after news stories are any indication of the intelligence of people that are actually reading the news stories. It does represent something, though. It does represent some kind of thought or what people think they can say that's acceptable or representative of what citizens, people around this country are thinking. Listen to a couple of the comments. And these are represented on many, many news sources that I saw this story on. This is almost the prevailing attitude. I have sympathy for this guy. I don't believe in evil. I think he is psychologically deranged. His condition is likely due to post-traumatic stress or from a brain injury he supposedly has. We know he had a brain injury, but we don't know his name. That being said, sadly, I think the best course of action is to put him in front of a firing squad. Okay, well, this person seems to be not very sympathetic either way. Okay, so you do have that sentiment where people think he should receive the ultimate penalty, although more people seem to think that of Bradley Manning than of this guy. How about this? It's a sad day for all involved. Why was this soldier cleared for duty? I'm not sure we will ever know the real truth about all that happened. I doubt that the Afghans will forgive and forget. I don't believe that is in their culture, in their justice system. I feel they are still in the eye for an eye mentality. This isn't a win-win situation. How is the soldier allowed to get off base alone? Isn't there supposed to be some kind of rule about leaving the base? What was the real breakdown here? But again, you have the attitude that, they're just too savage to handle this. They can't. It's all about eye for an eye. Well, you know, what is execution in our country? Is that not eye for an eye as well? You can look at things from a detached point of view and see the hypocrisy in any culture. But I do think that we need to look at this in a neutral way and try and treat different cultures fairly. And, you know, maybe we won't see so many instances of injustice. Here's another comment. As far as I am concerned with his head injury and his fourth tour of duty, I feel the courts should show some sympathy towards this man. Let's put your butt in the same situation and see how you react. Maybe true. Certainly possible that a lot of us would crack on a certain similar situations. But we're kind of forgetting about the victims here, aren't we? We're sort of pushing them aside as if they don't matter. And that's my point, is that they don't matter to so many people around here. They're only Afghans. They're only foreigners. And we're the big enlightened force that is there to spread democracy, whether they want it or not, and our version of democracy. And I don't know, when things like this happen, we just sort of we close our eyes to a lot.
They should just, I don't, never mind.
What?
No,
go ahead. Were you going to say something like on the CNN board? Go ahead.
No, I don't want to participate.
All right. You know what the difference between Americans and Middle Easterners is? It's not me saying this, it's somebody else. As you see in America, we do not march in the streets and celebrate these killings. Had this been a terrorist that took out these children, these Neanderthals would all be in the streets cheering and letting their kids fire off their AK-47s. That's the mentality that we have towards them. They're all the same. Here's another view. As far as I'm concerned, I just call this payback. I don't forget the looks on people's faces over here when the planes were crashed, as well I do not forget the cheering and chanting coming from those barbarians when the planes were taken down either. And you know what? That's complete fiction, because that didn't happen. That did not happen. I know, because I recorded TV for a week after 9/11, and any shots of people cheering were manufactured and were not actually taking place at that time, or were not taking place because of that incident. Now, if it happened today, I'll bet a lot of people would be cheering. But that's our fault. We put ourselves in a situation where the entire world hates us. So it's amazing how these new fictions of the past turn into history. It's really sad. Here's a couple more comments and we'll move on. Honestly, does anyone really care? I don't know how this is going to bring down gas prices or drop the unemployment rate or the deficit. So who cares? Move on. Another comment, I could care less, actually, as to what goes on over there. Most people would not like what my solution would be for that place. Well, thanks for sparing us that. And final comment here, payback for the village being a bunch of Taliban sympathizers. You know, this attitude, yeah, it's just CNN message board idiocy, which, you know, you get on any news site if you simply let anyone post whatever they feel like. But it also represents some very real thoughts, and very real thoughts that occur inside the military as well. And these are the people that have the power to do these things. And obviously, in this case, something like this happened. And we have a lot more to learn. We have a lot of facts to uncover, but there's also a lot that's not being told. And I think being open about it is the best way to deal with the situation in the first place, in the eyes of the rest of the world. Okay. So also, as far as where this all started, and maybe Kyle, you might have something to say about this. This guy came from what is known as a very troubled U.S. base, which happens to be located right by Seattle. Yeah, right where you come from, Kyle. It's called the Joint Base Lewis McChord. Is that the actual name of it, Joint Base Lewis McChord?
Yeah, it's sort of a funny name. They changed it a couple of years ago, probably less than 5 or 10 years ago.
Uh-huh. Let me just read the beginning of a story from the Los Angeles Times that was printed yesterday. The call would soon become agonizingly familiar. A 28-year-old Army specialist from Joint Base Lewis McChord, recently home from Afghanistan, had walked into a parking garage in Salt Lake City with a full set of body armor, ammunition clips, and his AR-15 rifle. 5 weeks before the 2010 incident, specialist Brandon Barrett had gone absent without leave after a drunk driving arrest near the sprawling military base in Washington State, and had begun sending ominous messages to friends, about to show the world they shouldn't mess with soldiers back from a deployment, he said in one of those messages. So he didn't use the word mess. Barrett died after firing at a police officer, and Lewis McChord was rocked by questions about how a soldier so angry had been able to go AWOL in plain sight for weeks. Now, since then, the base has become one of the most troubled in the Army. This week, accusations that a Lewis McChord sergeant in southern Afghanistan shot to death at least 16 civilians were added to the dozens of cases of killing, suicides, assaults, and other crimes linked to soldiers from the base. And, you know, by the way, we're gathering information about this guy. I have no problem releasing information about this person's identity. People deserve to know. Just like if a cop kills somebody, his identity should be known, too. This is the only other time that you see people's identities shielded.
Yeah, and cops, sometimes you know the guy's name. He's just on administrative cruise or whatever.
They go nuts treating him, quote unquote, fairly.
Right, but you do get the name. This is even
eventually
a little worse.
You don't always get the name.
Right, you don't, not immediately.
Sometimes it takes days or weeks. And also, they get to hang out with the people that they committed the crime with, so they can get their story straight.
Yeah,
things that we never get. You know, citizens never get this kind of treatment. We would be in jail. Our names would be paraded about the media. We'd be guilty in the papers before anything.
But they serve our country.
Uh-huh.
They serve us.
Well, I don't know. I think some of them should be served on a platter, but that's just my barbarian side talking. Mm. Anyway, continuing here, the largest military base on the West Coast with more than 60,000 military and civilian personnel, Lewis McChord is one of the main infantry engines for Iraq and Afghanistan. Lately, the base has earned a reputation for a series of horrific crimes emanating from there, including those by a kill team of Striker Brigade soldiers accused of killing Afghan civilians for sport, a father accused of waterboarding his child, and a soldier accused of dousing his wife's legs with lighter fluid and setting her on fire. 12 suicides were reported last year among Lewis McChord's soldiers. Earlier this year, a 24-year-old Iraq war veteran shot and killed a park ranger at Mount Rainier National Park. In February, the head of the base's Madigan Medical Center was temporarily removed from duty after reports that diagnoses were overturned for hundreds of soldiers scheduled to receive help for post-traumatic stress disorder, allegedly in some cases in an attempt to save money. You know, I could go on and on about all the things that are happening on this base and on other bases, too, but it's what's the point? You know, I think we can see what the problem is here. When you call a base an engine for Iraq and Afghanistan, I think that pretty much lays out what the problem is there. We're not even seeing these soldiers as human beings anymore. They're just fodder to send over there and do our government's will, which, you know, you have to ask yourself, what exactly is that will? What are we gaining from this? What have we gained from this? The very people that we're supposed to have been protecting and bring democracy to hate us and want to kill us. And the events of this weekend certainly show you why that is. And anyone who thinks that that it's wrong for somebody to wish evil on people that commit this kind of mass killing, I don't think you understand human nature very much. Really, it's there is so much we have to learn and so many things that are just being done improperly, and it continues. After this happened, it hasn't gotten any better. The cover-ups continue, and the attitude is as unhealthy, if not more unhealthy. So I don't know where this is going to go, but I do think that it is essential that they be open about this. They tell people who this guy is, release all the information, consider having the Afghan authorities handle at least part of this, you know, include them. I think they look like that. They would like to be included with the big boys as far as helping to determine someone's punishment or if they should be charged at all or whatever, you know, rather than just acting all superior, we'll take care of this, no need for you to even know any of the facts.
I'm sure they have some suggestions for how to handle it, maybe some talking points.
At least. Well, you know, again, I think it might be a little bit more enlightened than that. We only focus on the fanatics.
Yeah.
And make no mistake, people shooting at other people and blowing themselves up because, what, somebody accidentally burned a Quran? That's a bit extreme, which is probably why they're called extremists. It doesn't represent everybody. It doesn't represent more than a small minority. Yeah. And until we believe that, we're just going to keep treating them as subhuman. And it's not going to get any better. They're not going to be thanking us or showering us with flowers anytime soon.
Yeah. I can tell you a little bit. I mean, I just...
Yeah, tell us about the base.
I'll tell you a little bit about McCord. Maybe, I don't want to...
You know the guy's name, huh? Could you help us with that?
Right, right. I hope.
There's only 60,000 people there. It's got to be one.
Yeah. I will say a little bit. I don't want to, like, say anything because I don't have problems and I don't need any problems. But
What kind of problems do you think you could have?
I don't know. I mean, I got friends that are in the military. I have friends that are in the military. I have... Mm-hmm. I know families that are involved down there that I'm close with. I know a lot of like young guys that have joined up or that aspire to be in the army. I have been on base there in high school. I had friends that lived there and that worked at the BX base exchange. And the thing about, okay, so Fort Lewis was an army fort, and then McCord is an Air Force base.
Mm-hmm.
You might know the Stryker Brigade. They're an army unit. They're like SUVs from hell. They're like these big tanks with wheels, and so that brigade is located at Fort Lewis. That's kind of a popular weapon that is based there. Also, the Globemasters, I think,
uh-huh.
They're the replacement for the C-130 transport planes. They're these big, huge gray jets that transport all the people. So those would be like the ones where like everybody gets on the plane and then they fly out to maybe like the East Coast, or maybe they fly straight around to Germany and then they go back and then they go from Germany to Afghanistan. So it would be like where they assemble American troops and then they jump on a Globemaster and that takes them to Germany and then that hops them into Afghanistan.
Sounds like a paradise. Sounds like they should be happy there.
Yeah, it's like their airport in a lot of ways. There's other stuff there, but those are sort of the big things that go on there. And mm-hmm. you can see them taking off at practice all the time. And you got to imagine the Globemaster is being piloted by like a 19-year-old,
right.
You know, who's learning to be a pilot or whatever. And it's a massive base. I was describing this to you, that you can actually go through Steilacoom, and I've ridden my bike on the back roads and seen like the firing ranges and stuff. You can basically watch people train out there.
Uh-huh.
Also, I mean, there's train tracks that sort of border one end of it, and it gets way out into the lowlands of rural kind of Thurston County and that area. And it's, if you look at it on a map, it's just sprawling. It is a huge, huge facility. And I'll say that South Tacoma and Lakewood and those areas down there, they're outside of Tacoma proper, the city. So South Tacoma is sort of notorious for being kind of rough and tumble, kind of like
I don't want to say like South Central LA, but like it's kind of rough down there. A lot of single level houses. You don't have a lot of these suburban nice stuff. Maybe University Place and Lakewood, which is actually on the other side of I-5. So you have the base and then you have these nicer areas like University Place or Lakewood. Those are kind of nice. There's like lakes and little houses and suburban families, all that nice stuff. But there are parts of South Tacoma and that area that are either really, really rural, so you're getting like kind of country, or really dense sort of almost trailer parks or like single level housing that's just kind of like made out of paper kind of house, like nothing special. And there's a lot of families that live on base. And right. That's an entire another thing. A lot of these guys don't leave the base, really. I mean, they train and then their whole family's housed there. So, you know, they'll basically live, eat, breathe, and like their whole family is residing there with them. Those are kind of general things. It's massive. It's a huge facility. And I don't go down there. I went to college in Tacoma and I, you know, had some other educational experiences in the south end of Washington, but it's not a really nice area, and I wouldn't go down there like just at all. It's not a great, not inspiring, you know. It's definitely a working base, so unless you have business, it's really not a destination for any kind of fun. I know a lot of the guys from the base come up to Tacoma, they'll go to clubs and stuff, but you know, that's as much anecdote as I can really share. But, you know, it's a mess, really. And
were you aware of its reputation for being a troubled base, a place where bad things seem to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about guys, like, causing trouble up at, like, bars and clubs in Tacoma. Obviously, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of things going on, but I don't think that's an excuse. And, I mean, yeah, it's big enough that there's going to be all kinds of people going through all kinds of stuff, and honestly, saying that, you know, that joint base is troubled, that does not shock me at all. I mean, it's very real, and there's a lot of technology. They have access to a lot of weapons, a lot of gear, all that stuff's, you know, supplied out there. And the community is very busy with that. A lot of people that don't live on the base are either involved in the military, involved in the National Guard. They're some way affiliated. Maybe they work for, you know, equipment manufacturers, suppliers. There's a lot of residual businesses that support that. So the community itself is supportive of, like, you know, all it takes to support soldiers. So you got weaponry, you know, shooting ranges, all that kind of. And that mixing with, like, country attitudes and even, racist kind of stuff. There's, you know, different cultures colliding. And, you know, obviously the military is quite diverse and the area is diverse. But, you know, it's, how do you say, like, tense. There's tension. There's abrasiveness that I sense from the area. Mm-hmm. And I just, again, it's like I wouldn't, you know, go there to, like, go out on the town or anything like that. It's not that. It's a working area.
That to me is indicative of something really wrong if that kind of mood exists in a place that's supposed to be for soldiers to train, supposed to be a place where people are disciplined and hopefully not in an unhealthy state, not filled with hatred or filled with fear or all these other things. It just
imagine a lot of, like, you know, decrepit strip malls and kind of like depressing places. And that's in between, like, you know, there's a big mall out there and there's some other stuff, but there's no cohesion. There's no, like, relaxing bright side to it that, I mean, it's depressing. It would be a depressing place to live. I mean, unless you're some suburban family going to your private schools and all that stuff. So I would not go down there to like, you know, try to find a little home to get started, you know, living. It's just not a community I'd want to be living in. It's basically like anything around that base just supports some guy commuting there so he can go take his orders and, you know, get on his Globemaster and do what he's got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's sad. It's really, and it's not going to be the end of this because a lot of disturbed people are coming out of these conflicts and out of what we're sending them in to do, what we're paying for them to do. And we're going to have to deal with that. We're going to have to deal with that for decades afterwards because we're too short-sighted to actually deal with it now. But anyway, I want to close this off because we do have to go in a couple of minutes. But for those of you who want to help identify the guy, I'm going to give you some more information. Maybe you could be the first person to email us with the information we'll have a special prize, I guess, for, you know, just to, because obviously the media, the government's not going to tell us who this guy is, but they've released enough information where maybe we can figure out who he is.
And somebody's got to know.
Yeah, I mean, so come on, one of you guys. We have listeners at Joint Base Lewis McChord in Tacoma. I know we do, because we're going to be getting all kinds of things from them. I'm sure, believe me, there are a lot of good people there. I know there are a lot of good people there. That will do the right thing, that will speak up when something is wrong and put themselves on the line when necessary. Anyway, the suspect is a staff sergeant in his 30s. He's based, again, at Joint Base Lewis McChord near Tacoma, Washington. He belongs to the 3rd Striker Brigade Combat Team, 2nd Infantry Division.
Oh, wow. So he was in a Striker Brigade.
Yeah, yeah. He was trained as a sniper, learned to kill from 800 meters away. Again, the Army has not yet identified him, but that doesn't mean we can't. He was on his first tour of Afghanistan, but had deployed to Iraq 3 times before that. And in 2010, he'd suffered a traumatic brain injury in a vehicle accident. And that's really all we know right now.
I just want to say one more thing. I think we talked about this on a previous show. People can probably go back and listen to it. But one of my friends I was alluding to, one of his friends shot himself, I think, 2 years ago. We were talking about Joe. And I was away. I was actually out here when that happened, and I got a message about Joe, and it's crazy because I've hung out with him, and it's like, you know, these are guys that, you know, have weapons or whatever, and you know their dog, and they, you know, it's, you know, all about hunting, and like, I guess he went to Iraq once or twice, and like, he just never ever recovered. He never got right, and he ended it, and that's deep, man. That's close. That was like really close at the time, and now to see this kind of stuff, it's like, wow, there is a sickness. And so I really hope, like,
we're not thinking about it. We're not considering these people. And yeah, we react with shock and revulsion when things like this happen. And that those situations do have to be dealt with. But we also have to deal with the people that we're turning into monsters, because that's what we're doing.
And please, like, look out for your guy. Whatever happened to, like, battle buddies? Like, please take care of your fellow soldiers. Yeah. You know, that sickness, there's got to be something. Like, please look out for each other, because, you know, we're trusting you to, quote, serve us. You know, serve each other, take care of one another, you know, make sure everybody's family's good, that people are okay, because, you know, it's sad. It's really, really sad.
We're pretty much out of time. I just wanted to very quickly touch on this story, because you probably haven't heard about this either, but there was a terrorist attack in Belgium today, although it's not being called a terrorist attack, at least not by most media, because, well, it didn't occur against the West, it occurred against a Belgian mosque. Someone threw a firebomb into a Belgian mosque, killed an imam, in fact, it's this kind of thing just is being glossed over, but there are all kinds of hate crimes against Muslim people in Europe and here in the United States as well. And we're just fostering this attitude of hate and covering it up when we see it and treating ourselves as better than all the rest when we're really not. I hate to end on such a down note, Kyle, because you're heading out this week, but hopefully when you come back, we'll be in a much happier mood, and we will have done well in the fundraiser as well.
Absolutely. I plan to be back, and everybody listening, thanks for calling in and pledging. 631-632-6901. Good night.
All right. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned for the basketball game, which I believe will be on ESPN3 or something like that. We're going to go to a bunch of bars and make sure all the TV sets are set. All right. Good night. We'll be right back.
Everyone, and welcome to Stony Brook Seawolves basketball. The men's basketball team season continues as they take on the Seton Hall Pirates in the National Invitational Tournament. Live from Walsh Gym in South Orange, New Jersey, Mike Solano, Jeff Bernstein, and Kurt Hilton have all the action.
And thank you very much, Matt Mankiewicz, and good evening, everyone. Welcome once again to Stony Brook University men's basketball here on 90.1 FM, where, as Matt just told you tonight, it's round one of the postseason NIT as the eighth-seeded Seawolves take on number one seed Seton Hall.